right, so we actually have two laboratory things to do, right? Because you have not yet really ended your Piglow ones yet, which is why you have your plates out to take a look at again today. You need to look at these under ultraviolet light, so that's what these little black lights are for. Don't shine these into your eyes. UV is very bad for the retina. So, yeah, that's why you should, even if you're not using sunglasses, your normal lenses should be UV protected. So that's, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Just look at these things. Do exactly what it says for finishing up in the book. And that's why that one was not due today. The other one was, because you've already finished that, but this one will be due a week from today. The dates are already on Canvas. But the main thing that we're doing is 5-4, which is the quantitation experiment. And like I said earlier, we're not doing the gel quantitation. So all of part one, completely skip. Ignore that. Don't be confused by it. We're doing only part two, which is spectrophotometric determination of the quantity present. What is it that we're quantitating? DNA in what form? Yeah, the plasmids, the Piglow plasmids that we purified last time. Remember the ones with the column? The whole idea of that was so that you got just the plasmid and everything else from the cells was removed. That's why that last step, elution, released the Piglow plasmids that were sticking to the column, so that your final solution, the one that you saved and the one that's in here still, has hopefully purified Piglow plasmids in it. The next step then is to see how much you have purified. That's what quantitation is. Quantitation is counting how much is there, really. Well, you're not going to go in there and count individual plasmids, which are tiny, tiny, tiny pieces of DNA, right? And therefore, we use an indirect method to figure out how much is there. That indirect method is called spectrophotometry. Photo refers to light. Spectro refers to the fact that light comes in different wavelengths, which we perceive as different colors. And that whole range of colors that we see is called the spectrum. All right? So, light is energy, actually. It's electromagnetic energy. Electromagnetic energy includes all of the light that's visible to us humans, but it also includes invisible light, like ultraviolet, or radio waves, microwaves. Those are all light. All of that stuff is identical except for the wavelength. If you have a wave, the wavelength is the distance between two crests of the wave. It's the length of the wave, right? Well, this has a longer wavelength than this wave does. So these two different lights would look different colors to us. We perceive different wavelengths as different colors. And if the wavelength is too long, then it's too long for us to even see. It doesn't interact with the cells in our eyes. So it's invisible to us. The longest wavelength that we're able to see is red, which is why if it's even longer than that, we say that it's infrared, meaning below red. Infra means below. And the shortest wavelength that we're able to see is violet, which is why if it's even shorter than that, it's invisible to us and we call it ultraviolet, above violet.
Can we see infrared?
No, we perceive infrared light as heat. It will heat us up, but we don't see it. It's there, it's hitting our eyes. Our eyes just don't respond to it. And ultraviolet light is hitting our radio waves, microwaves are hitting our eyes all the time, but they're too long a wavelength for us to see. Ultraviolet light is too short a wavelength. By the way, the shorter the wavelength, the more energetic the light is, and therefore the more potentially dangerous it is, which is why ultraviolet radiation causes cancer. It damages the DNA in the skin. And you can get beyond that. Even more dangerous than ultraviolet are things like gamma particles, gamma rays, I should say. That stuff, thankfully, is filtered out by the upper atmosphere, so it doesn't reach us. But it's coming from the sun. Okay, anyway, all light is the same. It just differs in wavelength. Spectrophotometry is a technique in which you indirectly measure the concentration of a solution. Now, if you were to directly measure the concentration of a solution, that would mean you'd have to go in there and count all the particles and then divide that number of particles by how much volume of solution that you have. That's what the definition of concentration is, right? How much solute you have in a given volume of solution. Well, that's impossible because particles are impossibly small to count. So instead, we use the indirect method, which is spectrophotometry, which is based on measuring how much light is able to shine through a solution that you're trying to figure out the concentration of. All right? So this will only work for certain kinds of solutions. It will only work for solutions in which the solute, which is the thing you're trying to count, basically, if the solute is able to absorb light of a certain wavelength, then you can set up the spectrophotometer to be able to tell you how much of that stuff is there. Light can be described as waves, like I've drawn here, but it can also be described as little particles, which are called photons. So light has both wave-like and particle-like properties. I'm not going to get into the quantum physics of this, but a photon is a little particle or packet of light. And when a photon strikes or encounters a particle, it can pass right through it, which would make that particle transparent to that wavelength. In other words, it can be transmitted. That just means pass right through it. It can bounce off of it and go in some other direction. That's reflection. Or it can be absorbed. All right? And if it's absorbed, that photon ceases to exist. It is destroyed. We call things that absorb visible light, light in the humanly visible range, things that absorb visible light are called pigments. And that's why they look a certain color to us. You shine white light on a pigment. White is a combination of all colors, all wavelengths. And if something looks green to us, that's because it absorbs everything but the green light. So that those other colors end there. They get absorbed, but the green light gets reflected to our eyes. So it looks green to us. This is why plants are green. Chlorophyll absorbs the red end and the blue end, but it doesn't absorb the green, so the green gets sent back to our eyes and plants look green to us. Anyway, absorption of a photon destroys the photon. Well, these spectrophotometers, if you were to look under the hood, are not really all that complicated of a device. What you have in a spectrophotometer is a light source. So the lamp emits all the wavelengths. It's white light. And then that light goes through, well, at the other end of the device, other end from the lamp, is a well. We're looking at this from the top. A well, which is where you put a special tube in it that contains the stuff you're interested in measuring. That special tube that you put in the well is called a cuvette. And the cuvettes we're going to be using today are little custom-made plastic ones that are in this styrofoam case. Don't touch cuvettes with your bare hands. Wear gloves today. Okay? Anyway, between the light source and the cuvette is a prism. A prism that can be adjusted. But what happens when white light hits a prism? It refracts. White light is made up of all the wavelengths, and when light hits a different medium of different density, it's going from air to glass, which is much more dense than air, it bends the light or refracts it. Refraction occurs to different degrees depending on what the wavelength of the light is. So some of these things are going to be bent at different directions. Those correspond to the different colors. So that's what you see on the cover of Dark Side of the Moon, for instance, right? The white light is entering the prism, and then you're seeing red, orange, green, blue, indigo, and violet coming out. Plus also the invisible ones. You just wouldn't see the invisible ones. The machine still has them in it, though. Well, when you use spectrophotometry to figure out how much stuff you have in your cuvette, you need to first set up the spectrophotometer so that the light that reaches the sample in the cuvette is just the right wavelength for that stuff you're interested in to absorb it. So this is also something you need to know going into the experiment. What is the optimum wavelength at which this kind of stuff I'm interested in absorbs light? We're doing two different wavelengths, which is why we have two different spectrophotometers out today. 260 nanometers and 280 nanometers. Okay? Those are the two different wavelengths. But when you adjust the wavelength, really all you're doing is pivoting this prism so that just the color you're interested in is the color that's going to go straight through. The other ones get bent off to the side so they don't ever hit the sample. All right? So we've already set these up so that the one on the left, as you face it, is set up for 260 nanometer light. The other one is 280. You need to use both of them for your sample. But now let's imagine that you have this already set up. Let's say this is 260 nanometers. The light, this 260 nanometer light, is going to pass through this sample, and then at the far end of the instrument is a sensor that produces an electrical signal in response to how much light is hitting it. So it's a photosensor. And therefore, what you're really detecting is how much light makes it all the way through the sample and hits the sensor. Okay? If you're trying to figure out how many particles there are in this cuvette that absorb light of 260, then that means the more that makes it through, the less you have of that stuff, because otherwise it would have been absorbed and it wouldn't make it all the way through it, right? Because absorption destroys the photons. So however much is transmitted is inversely proportional to how much is actually absorbed. And you can set up a spectrophotometer to measure transmittance, the amount that it gets through, or absorbance, the amount that doesn't get through. We've set them up for absorbance. That's what we care about, okay? We care how much gets absorbed by the stuff that's in the cuvette. And the idea is the more light that gets absorbed, the more solute particles there must be, because it's the solute particles that are doing the absorbing. That's why spectrophotometer is able to give you a number for your concentration without actually directly counting them. But a spectrophotometer reading doesn't mean anything absolutely, meaning on its own. A spectrophotometer reading has to be a relative measurement. In other words, a measurement that's compared to some other standard measurement. And that standard measurement is made using what we call a blank. All right? Now, a blank is exactly like the solution you're trying to measure, which has some unknown concentration, except the blank, you set it up, the blank doesn't have any of the solute in it. So, for instance, if you were doing sugar water, trying to figure out how much sugar is in it, the blank would just be pure water, the solvent itself, no sugar at all. In our case, it's going to be pure water for our blank as well. It doesn't have any DNA in it at all. Because plasmids are DNA. That's what we're really trying to measure. Okay? Well, you have to use a blank to calibrate the instrument before you can actually take a reading of your unknown sample. Because you have to have something to compare it to. And what really is happening under the hood is that you put your blank in the machine, which in this case is pure water. Now, the water itself and the walls of the cuvette will probably, even though it won't absorb the light, some of it will be scattered. So not exactly 100% of the light that gets through this, that gets sent to this tube, is going to make it all the way through. But we tell the machine to count however much light makes it through, to count that as 100% transmittance. Another way, though, of saying that it's 100% transmittance is we say, however much light is striking that, we're saying that none has been absorbed. And so we tell the instrument to count this reading as zero absorbance. That's what a blank is for, to zero the machine. And then next, if you put in a cuvette that has some of the solute in it, like you're going to do, you know it has some DNA in it because you purified the plasmids, you just don't know how much. And you know that DNA absorbs photons at 260 nanometers, then the more DNA that's in there, the less light will make it through because more of that light will be absorbed and destroyed by the DNA. Right? So the machine will give you some positive reading called an absorbance reading. And that's the number you write down. All right, the higher the number, the more DNA that is there. So make sure you write down your readings. But you do the same thing for 280, and that gives you two readings. Now from reading ahead, which you're always supposed to do on these experiments, why do you want two readings at two different wavelengths? What's that going to give you? Yes, it allows you to calculate the ratio because now you have two numbers. So the ratio is just one number divided by the other. But what does that allow you to determine? Right. It allows you to determine the degree of purity. So last time you did the purification experiment, which if it's done perfectly, will give you nothing but plasmid DNA. No other impurities. And in that case, you would get a good result when you calculate your ratio. Chances are you did not have 100% pure plasmid. But you get an idea numerically of how impure or pure it is by calculating that ratio. So what does the book say about high purity? What does that mean in terms of the ratio? So I should start having quiz questions about the readings then, is what you're saying. What's it say? How do you know whether it's, numerically speaking, how do you know whether it's high purity or not? Yeah, 1.8 is a kind of a special number there. If your ratio is greater than 1.8, then that means you've done a good job of purifying. But keep in mind that a ratio can be calculated two different ways. If you have your absorbance at 260 nanometers and your absorbance at 280 nanometers, those are your two numbers you get from the two machines, you can calculate the 260 to 280 ratio by taking this divided by this, or the 280 to 260 ratio, which is this divided by this, right? Which one is correct? No, just the opposite. Page 172, the ratio of absorbance is 260 to 280. So you divide the 260 number from your left machine by the 280 number from your right machine. And if that comes to be 1.8 or more, that means you've done a good job of purification. You have pretty pure plasmid there. Less than means you've gotten some contaminants in there somehow. So that's the idea. Now, actually using the machines is very simple. I already have a blank made for each of the ones. Like I said, don't touch these with your fingers. I did because I touched them just at the top. But you don't want to touch them at the bottom because your fingerprints will block some light. Right? When you open up the hood here, there's a place to put the cuvette in. First of all, make sure your cuvette is totally dry on the outside because I don't want any moisture in these machines. They're expensive. But also, very importantly, this has a square profile, so you can put it in either way, unfortunately. That matters because when you look at these cuvettes, you'll see that two of the sides have little etchings on them. Two of the sides are clear. Well, you want to put these in so that the light is going through the clear sides. You'll get totally wrong readings if the light is going through the etched sides. Light travels on these machines along the length of the bench. So make sure your clear sides are to the right and left. Front and back are the etched sides. Okay? But to blank this thing, or to zero it, it's just a matter of putting the blank in, pushing it all the way to the bottom, closing the lid, and where's the blank? Huh. No. And okay. There's a little box on the screen down here on the lower left that says blank, and it corresponds to a key in the upper left of the keypad. You just hit that, and in a couple seconds, it will set it to zero and beep. This one might not beep. They're slightly different models. But anyway, that's all there is to blanking it. Do that before you take your reading. Open it up, take the blank out, put yours in, and just close it. And that's it. You don't have to push anything to get a reading. It will just display the absorbance. Write that down. That's it. Okay? So it's pretty easy as far as technique is concerned. But do it well, and also make sure you look at your P-Glow stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't promise that every little bit will be, but it's all eligible.